Happy Friday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for dropping in for another episode of the Be Our Guest podcast. We're always so excited when you take the time to listen to our show. Ricky and Pam are standing by. We have the entire crew here today, and we're going to have some fun Disney talk to get that weekend started just a bit early. Don't forget today's show brought to you by our friends over at the Magic for Less Travel. And I'm not kidding. If you're in a pinch and you want to blow it out of the water this holiday season, put a Walt Disney World vacation under the tree. Think about it. You can wrap a plush Mickey or a travel guide, something like that. Maybe do a scavenger hunt. You don't have to go over the Christmas season, but you could go sometime in 2020 and you can get that countdown going. And on Christmas morning, tell the kids, and heck, you know, you're the one that wants to go too. You're going to Walt Disney World in 2020. Still time to do that. Just drop by themagicforless.com today. Fill out your free no obligation quote form and an agent will get back to you right away. And they'll help you plan that next awesome Disney adventure. So check them out. Let them know you heard about them here on the Be Our Guest podcast. They're over at themagicforless.com. As you do that holiday shopping online this season, please use our Amazon affiliate link. It's brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. It's the easiest way to support everything we do here on the show throughout the year. You're going to get all those Prime benefits, cost you nothing extra. And again, it really does help support everything we do. So please bookmark it and use it often. brguestpodcast.com/Amazon.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 1576 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Friday to you. Yes, we are getting so close. I know we have tons of teachers in our listening audience, and God love you. You are in the roughest stretch. Well, one of the roughest stretches of the year. If you're a first-year teacher, you'll make it. You'll come within an inch of your life at some point this school year, but you're going to make it. The veteran teachers will let you know. But man, just keep hanging on there. Christmas is going to be here soon. You get that break. Everybody else who's in the retail industry, hold on, people. We're almost there. We'll get through this. We appreciate you taking us with you wherever you go. If you're marathon training, long miles right about this time of the year, this is really, it's supposed to be the happiest time of the year, and I'm making it sound like everybody's just trying to not die.
What are you doing? At this point. Just survive. You've got this.
It'll all be worth it on December 24th when everything slows down for about 48 hours and then it gets hectic again. So hang in there and take us with you. Hopefully you're having a great start to your weekend. We're going to have some fun Disney talk here to get you going. Joining me today from a Disney World After All.com, touringplans.com, and the Mouse for Less, we have Ricky. Merry Christmas, Ricky. What's going on?
Oh my gosh, this weekend is going to be just a marathon weekend. Like,
it's marathon weekend? Wait a second, I thought it was in January. Slow down. You just gave like half of our audience like a heart attack when you said that.
I'm sorry. I'm going to be running from here to there and dressed in my holiday finest because I have lots of ugly sweaters and they're all coming out this weekend. So I'm ready to go with my holiday sweaters, lots of holiday parties, lots of just stuff to do this weekend. So this is like crunch weekend for me. Yeah.
So I got it. You know, I'm all about trying to help people, right? I love helping people. It's like, and I love that Pam gives me the opportunity to help people plan vacations. It's very cool. Cause I've been getting tons of emails back from guests that just got back with like pictures. So, as a travel agent, there's nothing better than seeing a family that you work with for like 6 months and you see the entire family. Like I sent there was a family that went from Idaho, big, like extended family. They all went down together, got to see the pictures of them. That's so cool. Like they went from Idaho to Walt Disney World. They're all in their Christmas attire. Amazing. So it's just when you see that kind of stuff, it's great. But what was I saying? Oh, I want to help people real quick. You're going to holiday parties, right? You said
yes.
Okay, I had never been in a Costco till this past Saturday night.
Yeah. Okay. Wait.
Because I saw something on CNET. But I saw something on CNET on Twitter, and they showed this thing of cookies.
Yes.
It was like 70 cookies, and it had like all my favorites: these chocolate chips. Sugar cookies, like little white powdery ones. It had M&M chocolate chips. I was like, oh man. And it was only $17.99. So I was like, who do I know? I don't have a Costco membership. I'd never been to Costco. We have a Costco bias though. So I was like, Pam, like how do we get into a Costco? So it happens to be Mallory's friend was coming over to spend the night, and her family goes to Costco like every couple weeks to like stock up. And so we asked her if she'd go get them for us. She's like, oh, I just used my card. You guys can. I'm like, yeah, not only do I get the cookies, I get to go in and see what it looks like because everybody talks about it. So we go in there. And I'm like, dude, this place is like Disney. I could have got a MacBook Air for like $7.99. I almost bought a laptop that day because it was so cool. So anyway, I'm going in there. I didn't know this place closed at like 7:30 at night, like on a Saturday night. Like they're turning the lights out on us. And I'm like in this aisle with, you know, like pallets of ketchup. Like out of like, you know, if you ever need ketchup, you'd never have to buy it again. Gosh. I bought 70 cans of Coke Zero. They came in like 35 can like pallets. Yeah. So I bought that and it's like enough shampoo that I won't need it until at least 2023. But anyway, I'm just to get to the point, you got to buy this cookie package. I mean, 70 cookies and they taste just like they're homemade. So, and you can take them out of the little tray, throw them in like a tin or in like a Tupperware thing and bring them to a party and people are going to think you baked them.
Here's my problem. I am going to a party this weekend and at one of the parties, I have to bring a treat, right?
Dude, so you're done. $17.99.
Well, here's the problem. It's for my old boss and he knows how how good my cookies are. So he has
these
actually already requested that I bring my cookies to the party. I'm going to let you in on a little secret, guys. My cookies are not fancy. My cookies are very, very basic. You want to know how basic they are? I go to the store. I buy the break-apart cookies.
Who got those? Are good.
Oh, man.
I put them in the oven. Done. Everybody loves my cookies when I do that. So like I just go and bake a bunch of cookies and then I'll go back to work and I'll be like, surprise, I brought you guys cookies.
Well, the whole thing started.
I'm so loved at work because of it.
Well, the whole thing started because, you know, like we always bake cookies, right? And it's Christmas season. I'm ready for some cookies. We got to wait till Paige gets back from Mizzou and she's a grad assistant with the basketball team. So she doesn't get to come home until like the 22nd. I'm like, Pam. These aren't going to be Christmas cookies this year. They'll be New Year's cookies because I won't get to have any. Like I should be eating these while I'm watching my movies. So there's your stopgap measure. So anyway, let's get too long on that story. Pam Forrester, co-owner of the Magic for Less Travel. I'm sure you do it right and you don't run to Costco to get your cookies, but what's going on?
Am I supposed to rescue this from that Costco thing? No. I will tell you, I am a fan of the tray of Costco cookies. First of all, those sugar cookies, they have kind of an orange flavor.
Lemon, something like citrus.
I love them. They're so fantastic. I mean, really and truly. Wait till you see, Mike, around Thanksgiving time, huge pumpkin pie for $6.
Oh, I saw an apple pie. The thing was like the size of like a pizza.
I know, right? No, the pumpkin pie is literally like $6 for this huge pumpkin pie. They have pecan pies for under, like they're like $13, seriously. Will change your life. There's only three people in my family, me, Steve, and Hannah. We shop at Costco at least once a week. Seriously, we get like there's stupid stuff that we buy there every week. Eggs, peppers, you know what I mean? Stuff like that. So we really do. Anyways, there's just something about Costco. Just don't buy any travel there. Only buy it.
Yeah, that's what I said. I saw the big thing. I'm like, Pam, cover me. I'm flipping this thing around.
Right. I know, right? So anyways, but no, Costco is an experience for sure. We end up shopping there all the time. So it has cool stuff. It's just like little stuff that you can't always get everywhere else. And they typically have like sportswear of like your local team and stuff like that at decent prices. I mean, instead of spending like the insane pricing for the Penguins merchandise, they usually have some stuff there at Costco that is sort of reasonable. So anyways,
I didn't get to see it all because they turned the lights out on me and I was scared I was going to get lost in there. Well, like Saturday night is,
it's the night that they do close early. They're open Monday through Friday of regular times, but Saturday and Sunday they do close early. Yeah. And just avoid it on weekends altogether. Yeah, it's like nightmarish. No,
No.
I'm buying a card, $60. I got to get one because it was just
I almost bought a couch from Costco because they had like a pullout.
You're gonna load it in your car?
Yeah, how am I gonna get this home? So they had a pullout couch that was exactly what I was looking for. I was like, if I could get this home, I'd totally buy this right now.
All right, to the Disney talk. This show is not brought to you by Costco, but I mean, Costco, I will, you know, hey, you can throw me a 1-year membership and I'm good. St. Peter's. Anyway, so let's talk about Rise real quick. And we're going to talk about things to pack to make your Disney vacation better. Like what things can you bring to improve, you know, to make your next Disney trip a little bit better?
vacations.
Yeah, yeah, better vacations. Before that, though, this past week we've gone through the opening of Rise of Resistance. You know, definitely Disney taking an attraction to the next level. I've been reading that. Even with all that, you know, there's been some downtimes. There's been some struggles. But you know what? Here's the thing. I know some people get negative because things aren't perfect. But Disney, in my opinion, this is just me. But I'm glad that they're trying something so difficult, so groundbreaking, that it's not perfect, you know, because the thing is, they'll learn from it. They'll fix it. They'll get it going eventually to where the capacity increases and it's up, you know, the efficiency of the uptime is increased. And, you know, if it's something that on day one that was perfect, maybe they're not pushing the envelope hard enough. I mean, that's how I've seen this first week of Rise. So, Pam, you've been through a lot of these openings. It's cutting edge. When something's cutting edge, you're going to run into some issues that maybe you didn't see because it's never been done before. That's how I see it right now. What do you think?
I agree. It's cutting edge and it's popular. I mean, as a Disney fan and someone who is a theme park fan, I think the thing that is the most puzzling to me is that when other fans get upset because of the popularity of another ride or a park or whatever, like, I get it. You want to experience it, but I'm always so glad when Disney makes something that appeals to so many people that there are issues like this, that there are wait time issues, because that means they're really touching and impacting something that is special to a lot of people. I mean, I think that that's something that I want to see Disney keep doing because I want to keep seeing them be successful. What appeals to me may not appeal to everyone else in any kind of whatever. I mean, let's face it, the Tiki Birds is one of my favorite attractions. And I realize that I don't share that with everybody. They're not going to make 8 other Tiki Bird-like attractions. They're just not going to do that. Because sometimes when I go in there, I think I'm one of the like 10 or 15 people
who's actually enjoying themselves.
Right?
Yeah,
exactly. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Exactly. I realize that. Now, I very much enjoy some of the things that they've been doing. I love Flight of Passage, and that continues to see popular and longer wait times. I love Slinky Dog Dash. I mean, there are things that I like that appeal to other people, but I want to see Disney keep being successful because I think they're one of the best out there doing something that I can't get somewhere else. So if they're making an attraction that causes people to, first of all, get up early in the morning, hello, that's something that a lot of people don't want to do, and drag their bums over to Disney's Hollywood Studios at 5-something in the morning for the possibility of getting on an attraction, that I'm happy to see it because I know that they're touching something that is going to impact a lot of people.
So let's talk about that getting up early, because what they've had to do is go to the boarding groups, which we thought might happen with Smuggler's Run, which for the most part did not happen. Of course, no fast pass available for, you know, traditional 60-day, 30-day fast pass available for...
And no real standby queue either.
Yeah, for Rise or for Smuggler's Run. So it's, you know, the thing is, Disney's been training us with the way fast passes work, 60 days, 30 days, depending on your situation, for the past 7-8 years. You know, so we have a good grasp of that, especially our audience. And the good news is our audience is very tuned in, so that if you were headed down on day one, you were in the best situation you could expect to be in, because things have been fluid this past week. I mean, I will say that it is frustrating when kind of the parameters and the rules, you know, kind of are fluid, but I think it's Disney looking at what's happening and making changes on the fly to accommodate as many guests as possible. I think they're doing it for the right reasons, but I do understand the frustrations because everybody tries to have the perfect plan. You just got to kind of go with the flow. But with these boarding groups, getting there, and I know, Ricky, you're not an early morning person. I am.
I
like getting up early. And I think, you know, I've always said 100 times on this show, early bird gets the worm, and I'm 100% for that because I'm, you know, going to bed early the night before and I'm sacrificing on that end. You stay out and kick it till 3 a.m, you know, too bad. You got to get up. You did get placemats for Christmas. I don't know how much you're kicking till midnight anymore. But I mean, what do you think about this boarding group process? I like it. I think it's fair. I think if you invest the time, you have a good chance. I think it's as good as can happen right now.
I think it's fair to a point. I do have a little bit of frustration. Obviously, I'm not Look, I'm going to be down there for Christmas, and I'm well aware at this point, unfortunately, because I know, like, I'm already setting myself up for this, I'm not going to get to ride Rise. And it, as much as it disappoints me, because I want to get on it, because I know
that... Why do you say that, though? You have as good a chance as anybody.
There is no way I am getting up at 5 in the morning to go to the park. It's
you
just
you
not
wouldn't do that. You wouldn't do that once.
You have to say that I'm choosing not to do and I'm well what aware. It takes to do this.
And I'm well aware of that. It's frustrating in that regard, but I'm well aware that it's not going to happen. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm already well aware. There's no way I can get my husband up to go to the park to ride the ride at 5:30 in the morning.
He's run the marathon. I know he would get up.
It's not happening. Okay. He's not going to get up. It's just not happening. And a lot of people are like that on vacation. It's not happening for them. And that's why I get their frustration, because they're not getting up at 5 in the morning to go to the park. And I get that. Like, as someone who they're on vacation, that does not appeal to a lot of people on vacation. So I get that. So I've already written that off. If I get on it, I get on it. And that's great. I don't see myself getting on it because, again, I think all the boarding passes are going to be gone by the time I get to the park. Even if I get to the park by, you know, 8:30, the boarding passes are going to be gone. Like, it's just even if I got there early, like, to me, that's early. Like, it's still going to be gone. So I think the frustration that a lot of people have had, and this is the part that I understand, is that they have been opening up the boarding times before the posted opening times of the park. And I think that that's the frustrating part for people, is that if you're going to do it, that's fine. That's absolutely fine. But start it when you have park opening scheduled for. Don't start it early. Don't start it at, 6 a.m. and you said that the park is going to be open at 9. You know, like, don't do that. And I think that that has probably been the more frustrating part for people than, oh, they're offering the boarding pass system. You know, like, that part is understandable. I get that. It's the, hey, we're going to open it early. And even though we told you the park opens at 9, it doesn't. And you missed your boarding pass now because you didn't get here before 9, like, well before 9, when everybody else got the boarding passes, because that's not what time we said it was going to come up. So that's, I think, the big frustration that people have. And I think rightly so in that regard. If you're going to say the park opens at 9, then you should have the boarding passes go at 9. So.
I get that, but I think they're trying to increase capacity by opening early.
Yeah, and I get that too.
You know, I think too.
But then save some of the boarding passes for that 9 o'clock time. Don't have them all go at 8 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock in the morning or whatever time. Save some back for the official time or the afternoon. You know, like, do it that way, then, instead of, you know, because they do that with fast passes. I mean, we'll see how they'll have, you know, fast passes open up for, you know, Flight of Passage at, you know, in the middle of the afternoon. You're like, hey, I got one, you know, because that's happened to me before. So, like, I think that might be the more fair way to do this, is to save, you know, have everybody in the morning get their boarding pass, and then maybe save some for either opening time or, like, the noon time period slot or something along those lines, because I think that might be a little more fair for people.
It would be more fair, but I just don't think that's possible, because if you're there, I mean, you should have, you know, if you're there at 7 a.m., they should go till they go. I mean, every person that wants one at 7 a.m. should get one, and whatever's left is whatever everybody gets.
But if you're told the opening time is 9 o'clock in the morning.
But they did alter that.
Eventually, they did, yes. But
right.
But
it took them, yeah. I think, 2 days. Yeah. I think that's reasonable. But 2 days to respond to that. And they had to open the first day because, from what I've heard, the sheriffs were seeing an issue with the cars being out onto what, you know, would be the highways and would cause more problems. So then they were kind of in the situation where they were forced to do that. But I mean, I think for them to respond within 2 days and to inform the on-site guests that they were going to have earlier, you know, opening times, and therefore that would change that, I don't think that's a bad deal.
Yeah, I get it. I get it. It's just, it would be, I think it would be a little, they're doing a lot of goodwill with what they're doing, you know, by offering, if you don't get in the boarding group, by offering the, you know, the fast pass for the next day, offering, we've seen them offer the park ticket. I think that that's a lot of goodwill, but I think that this, it would just help a tiny bit. I'm just saying, I get where you guys are coming from. It's just, as someone who is someone who doesn't follow the, if you're looking at the regular park guest who doesn't follow all this hoopla, you are going to be disappointed. And I get it. I understand. I get both sides of things is kind of where I'm coming from. So if you saved a little bit back for the people who don't follow everything, who don't like aren't on Twitter, aren't on Facebook, aren't on all the message groups, and just save a little bit back for them, I think that that would be a little bit of goodwill. But
no, when I go to bed tonight, I'm going to say a prayer that I have all your people there when I'm there, you know, over marathon weekend, that everybody sleeps in till 9. They'll make my life easier.
You know? I get it.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and if you're staying on site, you're getting the notice in your room too. So
yeah.
I am thinking too, they've done a really good job in using the app to sort of push information out. And I'm assuming that that happens as well when guests are actually there on site. I think because the past, I don't know, maybe like the past 2 or 3 months, whenever we've walked into the park, probably more like 6.
Yeah.
There are messages that pop up that kind of guide us with different things, and they depend on what they're trying to communicate to guests at that point. But I think that they're probably doing something like that too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah. Pam, how do you feel? Cause I kind of like this, like you roll in early and even, you know, I've seen many times where I've thought, you know, hey, I'm going to be like, you know, in the first 100 people, and I roll in and like I can't even see the front of the line, you know, because I just kind of misestimated what's happening, underestimated. And I roll in at, say, you know, 7:30, and I get a boarding pass for, you know, 6 p.m. I still like that, because what that does is it gives me a couple of options. One, I can stay in the park, do other things, you know, and. But the thing is, if I get a 6 p.m., I know it's kind of frustrating if it's 7:30 in the morning and you're not going to get to experience it till that evening or that, you know, late afternoon. But the thing is, like, I can now go back to my hotel. If I want to go back to bed, I can do that. If I want to go to another park, mm-hmm. I can do that. If I want to go over to, you know, Trattoria Al Forno and have a character dinner, you know, character breakfast, whatever, I can do that. You know, it is basically a fast pass with a virtual queue. I mean, it's not ideal that your fast pass, you know, that your return boarding group isn't going to happen within a couple of hours where typically you'd still be in the park, but I'm fine with it because it opens up my day. So do you think that's the best that can happen at this point?
Yeah, I kind of do, because here's why. It doesn't mean that you have to alter your fast passes at all for these days. Whatever you planned 60 days ago is still in effect, and essentially you'll still be able to do, because you do have that hour boarding window, you know, that you can do either the fast passes or use the boarding group kind of thing. So that, I think, is that in it, I think, is very cool, because if you would have had to have used a fast pass in order to access either of these attractions, then that would have limited your fast passes for the rest of the day. You would have had to choose that day as the park that you're going to be in, period, or you would have had to choose Hollywood Studios, and then you would have missed out on access to things like Slinky Dog or some of the other tier one attractions in that. So I like this right now. We'll see how it goes. We'll see what it continues to do. But I also like that they've avoided what has been basically those huge lines that we've seen from other, not only Disney opening attractions, but like Universal attractions, considering that here we are with Hagrid's, you know, we're in way into it. We're still seeing those attractions, and we're still seeing those lines for the attraction mm-hmm. that we didn't see, you know, in the past. So I'm glad that we're sort of avoiding that too.
And it's going to be fluid. I mean, things are going to change, but I think that it's not perfect. Nothing's going to be perfect. But I think that what I've seen is, I don't know what else they could have done to make this much better. I'm glad they don't have FastPass right now for Smugglers or Rise, because it is helping the flow, you know, mm-hmm. because that'd be a mess. It would really slow things down. Of course, people have guaranteed entry, so if you have the FastPass, you're all about it. You know what I'm saying? But overall, I think it's a good idea how they're handling it. So we'll leave that there. I also want to send a shout out to my friend Linda, who's traveling down to Walt Disney World right now. She's on a rather lengthy vacation with her family, was there opening day and the next day, and has been feeding me back lots of firsthand boots on the ground information, because she wanted me to have that information to help all my guests and everybody here listening to the show. So thanks to her, because I've been learning a lot. She's been doing a lot of statistical crunching. I told her she needs to get a hold of Len and become a statistician, because the stuff she's giving me is gold. I'm like, oh my gosh, that's great. You're figuring out like all these calculations. It's amazing. So it's getting better. That's what she is saying. It's getting better as the week goes on. So that's good to hear. All right. So let's hop into the topic for the day. Just a few things we're going to talk about. Things you can pack for your vacation this winter when it's a little bit chilly. You could bring stuff to make your Christmas vacation better, you know, to celebrate maybe Mickey's Very Merry Christmas Party, marathon weekend in my case, something I might bring to make the trip a little bit better. Maybe you're going out for Valentine's Day, Festival of the Arts, what have you. So, Pam, what's something else you can, besides stuff you would throw in for every vacation, this time of the year, what are you throwing into your vacation and why are you throwing that in? Throwing it to your luggage, not your vacation.
I am taking, although you kind of do this for, you know, any trips during this time, I'm taking layers, lots and lots of layers, because this is a time of year when the weather starts to get a little unpredictable. You know, usually you have sort of a sense in the fall, you have sort of a sense like it might be hot someday and it may get down into a certain temperature in the evening, but we're not going to see like 30s, right, in the fall, typically. But now as we approach the holidays, it can get cold. Yeah, it can get really cold. So that means for me, it means layers and it means gloves and something to cover my ears, because my hands and my ears are cold. Forget it. It makes the rest of things miserable. And if you think about it, like, we all have coats that we bring with us, but we don't always bring gloves or something to cover our ears. And that's the thing that just drives me crazy. So anyways, definitely hats and gloves.
You know, along those lines, Pam, you know, because I've been down there, I go for marathon weekends. I go in January every year and have been for probably a decade. I will say that one of the most like hard things to find on property was a stocking cap.
Like, yeah, right. See,
I have one that has like a WDW kind of logo. Like, it says 71 and it's not a, like a big, like, you know, like the bigger ones that are kind of more popular with like the pom pom on top. It's kind of like more like a skull cap, you know, just like the real tight one. But, you know, and if it gets super cold, I've actually seen them, looks like they went to Walgreens or something and bought, you know, like this, they don't have any logos on them. They're just like black stocking caps. I've seen those like at the cash registers at the hotels and stuff, and like little cheap gloves. But you would think, I mean, has this changed? Am I missing? Ricky, have you seen, like, you would think like in the winter, I mean, they would have like cute stocking caps of every kind, you know, in go to the ball bell bronze or whatever. I don't know. You know, like, why do they not have stocking caps? Because people at least go home, you know, and no, like they go to cold places.
I know that is kind of an interesting question. I don't usually see a lot of that stuff either. They may have like one or two options.
They should have a lot.
But they should have a lot, especially, you know, they have sweatshirts and stuff like that that they'll sell. I've seen the big thing that I see people grab when it's cold outside is not only do they have blankets that they will sell, which are cute blankets, by the way, but they also have, I see it all the time when it's cold, people buying beach towels to keep themselves warm so that they can wrap it around and stay warm. So yeah, definitely, if you know, just know Disney does sell a couple of things that'll keep you kind of warm, but not a lot. And it is very surprising. I mean, you'd think like Walt Disney World branded gloves, I mean, you'd think that they'd have more than what they offer. I think I've seen a few things occasionally, but it's definitely not a lot. And in the winter months, those things are totally necessary.
Well, because you're going home, a lot of people, to where it's cold. I mean, and also, I mean, it's become more trendy, I'd say, like in the last decade, especially, like to wear a stocking cap. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, people wear that just like as a fashion statement. I mean, I don't, but, you know, I wear a ball cap. But I mean, I'm telling you, when it's chilly, if you put on a stocking cap, like Pam said, cover your ears and keep your head warm. If you keep your head warm, your body stays a lot more comfortable.
And I always have a scarf too. I just pack all those three things in my, you know, in my carry, well, the bag that I carry around with me in the park. Like, I just throw those things in there because like Pam said, while it may be nice during the like afternoon, you know, it may be comfortable, it may be pleasant in the evening once the sun drops, and it drops early because, you know, you've got daylight savings that's happened, you know, it drops quick and it drops cold and it gets, I mean, it gets freezing once that sun goes down. So we definitely want to make sure you have hats, gloves, scarves. And my favorite thing to have because you're outside all the time at theme parks like this is hot hands.
Oh, that was going to be mine. I buy them on Amazon by packs of 40.
Sorry for stealing it, Mike, but seriously, hot hands, and not just hot hands, but the hot
toes. Yep, hot toes.
You put in your shoe and you let it like sit there. It is a godsend when it's cold out like that and it's dark and you're freezing. I mean, just having those things are huge when it's cold out like that. So go to pick some up before you head to your vacation. They have them at Walgreens. They have them at I've seen them at Home Depot. You know, they have them, of course, at Walmart and Target and stuff like that. But I always get them at Walgreens because I find that they're a lot easier to find there. So because they always have like a rack of them like somewhere sitting out in the middle of the, you know, the store there. So I just literally like grab like 15 packages and stick them in my bag when I'm on my way down to Disney. So, yeah.
What I would do with those, and again, I buy mine on Amazon because every morning I run at like 5 a.m. And as long as it's not super cold, like tomorrow morning, it's supposed to be like 20 and I'll still be outside running. And so I put them inside my gloves and they keep my hands plenty warm. I have the toes ones. I just get like in the teens to bust out the toes ones for me for running because they're not perfect for running, but they're fine for walking. But I buy them on Amazon. You can get like a 40 pack for like $25. And I'll tell you what, let me tell you about this, why to bring them to Disney. You want to make friends?
Oh my gosh, yes. Dude,
bring more than you need for you and your family. If you want to make friends, somebody's waiting for a prayer, be like, Harry, man, you want some hot hands? They'll be sending you Christmas cards for the rest of your life.
Seriously, yes.
I'm telling you, man. No, and that was the thing I was talking about when we were on that. Remember we were on that fireworks cruise a long time ago? Seven Seas Lagoon. They had to have been 10 years ago.
Oh, it was. And it was the first Mouse Fest.
Yeah, it was Mouse Fest, wasn't it? Yeah. Oh my gosh, yeah. I forgot about that. And the guy turned too quickly or something and the water came up and... But you had handed out hot hands, I think, Ricky. You'd hand them out, and look, we're still friends.
I know. Who'd have thought?
And you totally stole mine. But yeah, buy them on Amazon. Also, they sell them at like Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's if you have them. They're easy
and Costco.
Oh, Costco.
I saw them at Costco. You're right. This whole Costco thing, it's crazy. Who knew? All right, so the next thing I'm going to say for marathon weekend, if you're going down for a race, marathon princess or something like that, you know you're going to be getting a lot of pictures because you're going to have your medals. And, you know, you're probably going to wear either like your race shirt or say, like I wear my lizard shirt or I'll wear something. But here's the thing. I mark, especially for folks that do the races year after year, I'll either bring a hat or like a shirt that has something to do with that year. So one year when Alabama was playing in the national championship, I think against Clemson because of Mike Bankhead, I wore my Bama stuff for all my, you know, my Monday after the races pictures because that reminds me, oh, that's the year the Bama was playing Clemson. So say, you know, this year the St. Louis Blues had won the Stanley Cup. So I could wear like my Blues cap with my medal pictures and that's something to mark that year. So it's not hard to toss something, you know, a t-shirt or a hat into your luggage to kind of mark that season, that year, that time for your pictures because, you know, it's something to... Because, I mean, you know, like when I go back through my pictures otherwise, like, oh, yeah, there's me at the medal. There's me at the medal. I can't tell what year it was. You know, I don't know what was going on there. It's just I ran into the dumb race. So just Mike being dumb. So that's it. You know, so I think it's kind of fun to just wear something like time. And you can do that for any vacation. You know, if your team won the World Series or, you know, what have you. Bring some gear from home. All right, Pam, let's do one more thing. What else can you pack?
So, you know, something else that I'm going to pack when I go on vacation is – extras of all of my, like, I like to bring extras of everything I can in terms of electronic stuff. And I know that that's okay. That's something that you need to do all year long. But especially in the winter, I feel like I go through the power on my devices more often. Yep. Is it because it's cold?
It's 'cause it's cold.
I don't know what.
Yeah. My AirPods drain way faster on a cold morning than a 50 degree morning. Yeah.
Okay, so that's what it is. I'm always like extra batteries, things like that. I just want to have them with me. We tend to tour in the winter, and I think it's because the weather is not so hot. We don't feel like we need an afternoon break as much. We tend to go longer. Like we may quit earlier in the evening,
right?
But our days are longer. So like, let's say we're in the park from morning until, you know, early evening without leaving. We do that. So I think it's extra important to bring, you know, those extra batteries.
I agree. That's important all the time. You're right, because I've done the same thing where I just don't get as tired. So I'll chug on. But in the summer, I'm always going back at 2 o'clock and I'm getting a full charge on everything by the time we go back after dinner, you know, so good call there. All right, Ricky, what else? What else are you packing?
So with the holiday season, because I will be down there for Christmas, the things that, you know, I always want to pack, and I know that it's so silly, but I make sure that I pack, you know, my holiday sweaters. Like we talked about, you know, this weekend, I'm going to the ugly sweater parties. Well, I'm going to make sure I have those same ugly sweaters when I'm down in Florida. And I know that a lot of people think about that, but sometimes you don't. So, you know, you're there to celebrate the holiday season. So have some fun with it. I have my mini ears that I wear, you know, that light up, and I make sure I pack those every holiday season. I'll make sure that I have the light up, you know, sweater that I bought. Or this year, I don't want to share because you guys are going to see pictures of it this weekend, because I'm for sure going to post on Instagram. But I have the most adorable outfit that I'm going to wear when I'm down in Florida for Christmas. But I'm going to wear it this weekend because this is like an ugly sweater party, like, kind of thing. So it's like this cute outfit that I'm totally wearing for Christmas. And it's just never would I wear this at any other point in life but Christmas time. So, like, you have those kind of things. The other thing I want to think about is the Festival of the Arts is coming up, it is obviously a winter time event. And so the one thing that I will say is, just because it's winter, and the one thing I experienced was I was there on a day when it was just a torrential cold downpour, rainy day.
I'd rather have snow than cold rain. Ugh.
Yes, exactly. And we've been there for marathon weekends when it's been that cold, sleety, rainy day all day. And those really are kind of the worst days to be at Disney. I mean, a day at Disney is never a bad day.
Yeah. Well, you never warm back up once you get that cold
exactly.
rain on you.
You never warm back up. So on those cold days, make sure you're not thinking about it because you're thinking about it in the summer. You know, those afternoon rains, you know, they always say that they're, you know, oh, it's going to rain today. And it rains for a couple minutes and then you're back again. Well, it rains in the winter too. And it rains all day in the winter, it seems like. So make
it
sure.
It rains on the plains in Spain.
Exactly. So make sure if you do go in the winter, you pack an umbrella, or, I mean, if you really like ponchos, a poncho, but I don't like ponchos. So, like, you know, but at least that way you're staying a little bit dry, and not, you know, soaked, because I feel like a lot of people forget about the fact that it does rain in the winter at, you know, in Florida. And it's a cold, cold all day rain usually in the winter in Florida. So yeah, agreed. At least in my experience. So just make sure you have those kind of things. Cause
the rain in Spain falls mainly on the plain.
Yeah. Well, the rain in Orlando falls cold and hard.
It is not in the winter. It's not fun.
No,
it's miserable. Not. Yeah, because I still remember one day. It was New Year's Eve. This was like when Paige was probably. She must have been. Because we went this trip with Pam's mom, and so Paige might have been like 9 or so. And we're staying at Pop Century, and I remember we went to Animal Kingdom that day, and it rained and it was cold. But we tried to stick it out. You know what I'm saying? It's like one of those things, like, you know, I was still pretty much like a rookie, you know, like I was not leaving. So we stayed there. And I mean, it rained and it was super cold. And I just remember, like, I didn't even get warm. Like, I was under like every blanket at Pop Century. We had the heat on full blast. And I remember because it was New Year's Day, because we had a tradition in Pam's family, which now is in our family. I don't know if this is anybody else does it. You have to eat black eyed peas on New Year's Day for like good luck. Yep. Okay, so we brought a can of black-eyed peas with us, and we took them down to the food court and, like, microwaved them and ate them back in the room. And, so I just remember that day still. I mean, that's over 10 years ago, and I still, like, I'm shivering thinking about it. Right? I got to turn the fireplace on. I'm so cold.
I know. It's really, like, it's those days that are the testing days when you're in Walt Disney World. Honestly, I mean, seriously, like, that is, if you can... Don't go to the park that day. Do something around the resort. Honestly, you will be so thankful that you did, because it is seriously so cold. But if you do have to go out into the parks, just make sure that you are prepared and maybe pack. You might want to pack an extra pair of clothes for that day, like just to throw on in the bathroom or something, like just to try to warm and thaw out.
I still remember like when I had my meltdown, we were in line for Dinosaur and the line was so long. We were back like where the ferns are, you know, like we weren't even in the building.
Yes.
We were like back, like we're going through like the ferns, and I'm like, this is so dumb. I'm so cold. I might die. I might die of hypothermia.
One other thing to think about, like on those cold days like that, long underwear. Not a joke. Seriously, pack, like Pam was saying, like the layers thing, just like leggings or tights or whatever, long underwear. Put that stuff on before you go out, because it will save you. You will be so much warmer with that stuff on. I promise you.
Marathon weekend, I always wear my running tights under my jeans, like if I'm going to the parks at night.
Exactly. Yes.
Because I'm comfortable. Yes. Yeah. Okay. So last thing real quick. If you're going down during the holiday season, I would go and get, like, especially if you're taking a family, I would go and get, like, the Santa hats and things like that maybe at home, like at Target, because you can probably get them for, like, $3, $4, $5. And I know the ones at Disney are cute, especially the ones that have like the Santa hat with the ears and stuff. Those are cute, but I mean, that's a splurge. And if you've got three kids, I would just get that stuff before you go. And you can wear it on the airplane. You can wear it, you know, when as you arrive and that kind of stuff. Go ahead, Ricky.
One last thing about buying like stuff like that ahead of time. Target actually had Minnie Mouse ears that were holiday themed. And so that might be an option too. And they're cheaper, a lot cheaper than what you get in the parks, like by $20 cheaper. So that might be an option. I know Claire's also at the mall usually has some sort of Minnie Mouse ears too that are on, like a lot cheaper. I don't know if they have holiday ones right now, but I for sure saw the ones at Target that are holiday ears. So that might be something that you want to look at too. They also had the unicorn ones. So if you need a unicorn themed ear, you can get those too at Target.
And you could totally get your belly button pierced while you're at the mall at Claire's.
I mean,
that way you have another hole in you when you go for your vacation.
I don't know that you would want to. Although that's where I got my ears pierced, was Claire's.
That's it. You got to sit in the window and just act like a man. Be tough. I don't know. Okay, I've never had a piercing in my life because I'm not getting any extra holes in me. I'm just a wimp. So anyway.
Pam, the look on Pam's face is like, where did this conversation just go?
This is the Claire's and Costco show is what this is. CNC Music Factory. All right, well, that's going to do it. So drop by the Facebook group. What other things can you pack during this time of the year to make your vacation a little better? Something you might not think about outside of the obvious other times of the year. So hopefully you enjoyed today's show. Today's show has been brought to you by the folks over at the Magic for Less Travel. Like we said at the top of the episode, still plenty of time to put a vacation, make it an epic, epic holiday season. Put a Disney vacation under the tree. You don't have to go down during Christmas. You could go spring break. You could go this summer. And think about it. You could open a Mickey Plus. You could open a travel guide. You could do a scavenger hunt around the house and have the kids discover, hey, we're going to Walt Disney World in June as soon as school gets out. And the thing is, you know, like the vacation, when you get a typical like toy or gift under the tree, by New Year's, you've forgotten about it. You know what? You play with it for a while and, you know, you may use it, you may not. If you're going on a trip in June and you give it during the holiday season, you have 6 months to talk about that trip, plan that trip, get excited for that trip. And it's a piece, and really, I hate to shop, and it's really easy. So I'm just telling you, it's really, really easy. You know what you're doing. So drop by themagicforless.com, fill out that free navigation quote. We can still do that here before the holiday season. So let them know you heard about it here on the show and plan that great vacation. Think about that at Christmas. Like, you're the commercial. You're the Disney commercial all of a sudden. Like, oh, my God, we're going to Walt Disney World. And it's going crazy. So, yeah, I'm just telling you, you could be a hero. So do it this year. Also, don't forget, as you do that online shopping, Amazon affiliate link, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. So if you want to buy those hot hands, hot toes, you know, all that stuff that you're going to buy anyway, please use our link. It really does help support the show. So again, brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. Don't forget, this Sunday night, 48 hours from now or so, we're doing the Holiday Traditions call-in show. So think about what you do that's special in your family. What's a tradition? What's something that you love about the holiday season? Give us a call. We're going to be recording those, having a great fun conversation, get some milk and cookies as we record and listen and watch on Facebook. And we'll just have a great old time getting ready for the season. And we'll put that out so everybody can take that with you on your travels over the Christmas holiday. So again, give us a call on the holiday show this Sunday night, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central. And we'll be taking your calls live on Facebook. All right, give us a follow on social media, Instagram and Twitter at BRGuestPod and at BRGuestMike. And of course, Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. All right, time to get out of here. Until we get together again on Sunday night, for Pam and Ricky, I'm Mike. Wishing you a great Friday. Whatever you do this weekend, stay safe, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.